We are so excited to be able to share some thoughts with you tonight about what the fall will look like. And I wanted to begin with some just kind of a devotional thought and calling out some truths, because it is the truth that has to anchor us as we move into any aspect of our life, certainly as believers. But I kind of want to share around this idea of foundational truth in a shaking world. How many of you would say that our culture is shaking right now? It's not shaking. I mean, it's dancing. It is really very uncertain. I think I'm not overstating to say that there is a new underlying fear that sometimes comes out as anger, sometimes comes out in a lot of ways, sometimes it just comes out in despondency, but I don't know that we've ever been in this particular place. There have been some pretty crazy times in our country's history. I think what is new for us today is that we are all exposed to it 24/7 on our phones. And how many of you have found yourself just needing to turn off the television, not look at your phone for just a few, just let me escape the craziness, Lord. So I want to begin just by acknowledging that there are very real new challenges that we are living through right now. We are in the middle of probably one of the most polarizing cultural backdrops that the church has found itself in quite some time. There have been times of upheaval, but this idea of being very polarized as a society, very in our own corners and on a lot of issues is suddenly surrounding the church on all sides. And we are being called to say, how can we act and how should we act during this time? I'm old enough to remember a day when we had this thing called bipartisanship. Did any of you even remember that word? It was the idea of a country not agreeing with each other on all issues, but working together to get things done. Didn't always look pretty, but it was sort of an understood that that's what we were supposed to be about. You now live in the age where the people on the other side of the aisle are not people who you just have to disagree with. They are your enemy. And the country can only be better if they're gone. And you have nothing but derision and hatred for people with opposite opinions. And frankly, that is always been there in some cases, but this is new. This is a new day. And the hard part is, guess what? There are believers on both sides of the aisle. Amen? There are people who are trying to follow Christ. But we live in a day and age where if you put a check on one box, so much is assumed about you. And the fear is that a church is going to check one box and then miss out on a lot of ministry. How do we navigate that? That's a real challenge. That's real. Whatever you think about it. Boy, the ramping up of racial tension right now is huge. Everything surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement, wherein you can just look at the thing and you see what intrinsically is broken in our society, and you're asking God to change and to help, and then you can see a whole spectrum that has gone off the deep end and been taken and blown up and exploited, and there is what probably is pervasive right now in our country. If you've read the scriptures very long, you bump into this phrase, the spirit of lawlessness. The idea is, I don't care, I will get my way, and I will take whatever I have to get it. Well, welcome to fall 2020. And guess what, church? This is where we follow Christ. And the great danger is that somehow, and I see this, and I don't want this to be true, I can feel it in my own spirit, is that you have Christians rocking back on their heels and wondering if there's a place where we can just turtle up and survive this thing, and maybe by next year it'll all be better. Guess what? I believe in a sovereign God, one who designed this moment in history for His glory and for His purposes, and God's got to get off the back heels and get us up on our toes and leaning in and saying, God, we want to be the church today. Amen? I mean, I say amen to that. Part of me wants to like, no, I just like everybody to get along and But the truth is, this is what God's called us to do now. And these are real challenges. We're not making them up. It's so funny. As pastor, sometimes you say things dramatically. I don't even have to try right now. Just turn on your television. It's pretty exciting. That is the cultural backdrop that we're going to move ahead in this year and try to follow Christ. And we're not just dealing with those things. We happen to also be dealing with a very life-changing, life-altering virus. Have any of you heard of COVID-19? Did any of you bump into that this year? I know I'm joking, but for all the things it has pulled out of us and this place of how has this impacted the church and how has this positioned us to be taken advantage of maybe by movement that don't want to deal with the truth of God's word. How many, you know, whatever you think about this, it's a real virus. You all agree? And if you've lived long enough in this time, you know somebody who's not here anymore because they've died. And this is real. The thing is, now, the question is, how does the church deal with it? I want to tell you, I praise God for this moment and where you're seated and the fact that we have been able to worship our Lord and Savior together. Anybody thankful for that? God has not, He's orchestrated it, so we can be out here and we can do this safely, and I praise God for that we've had this summer to do that. By the way, in case any of you wonder where we stand, the church is the most necessary institution in the world. Just thought I'd tell you. We don't close down. Amen? I'm not getting crazy. Just understand. God's called us to exist and to be the church, but we also have to be real and responsible. And so think of the challenges that COVID has brought. I guarantee you, in a gathering this size, somebody's had a job change. Your finances have been impacted. Your way you've done life. How many students here are really sad because you're on Zoom? I mean, everything has been kind of impacted. And so we feel the weight of that. But when you come inside the church, we felt the weight of that too. And as we move forward this fall, there's very real challenges facing us. When we come back indoors, and we are on October 4th, we will be back inside the building. And our prayer is right now that as we come in, we're going to be wise, responsible, and we're not going to overstep where we don't need to. We're going to have two different venues. The auditorium will be open, and we are also going to be opening up the gym with a live simulcast in there, and it will be particularly set up for parents with children. How do you come to church right now? How do you do anything right now? I feel like I just want to take a moment, and every one of you who's got kids at home, I want you to stand. I just want us to applaud you. Can we just do that? Every mom, dad who is like doing crazy. Parent, this is the year of the parent, because the assists, whether you leaned in them or not, the ways that we structured our life, you are now not only parenting your child, you are their school teacher. You are their Sunday school teacher. And God has put this big mantle upon you. And the reality is, as we come back indoors, there's not going to be a nursery until January. And we're not going to be having children's church within the building, because it will be very hard to do that and accomplish all the things that we would need to do it. But we still want to provide a way to have families come back inside the building and for you to be part. We're just calling it out from this moment. Can we all agree? This is hard. This is hard. This is not the way we envision it. But I want to tell you how God has placed it on part of our leadership, is that we don't want to spend the next 4 months bemoaning. Nor do we want to be over spiritual and say, suck it up. We want to say, God, you orchestrated this moment. How do we believe that you are in charge and you are working and we can trust you? So we're going to do the best job we can in making it possible for our families with young children to be part of us. I'm going to let Melissa talk about this more, of what that venue will be. But that is a real challenge. Can I just tell you, the other people, right now our seniors, this has put a huge weight, and we have a whole season Saints, and that's all been adjusted. And how many of you are glad to have made it as far as you have? Go ahead, be proud. We got people here, but I tell you what, we have at-risk people in our, and you know what, it's not the majority of us, but there are people who, this is a real thing. How do we love them? How do we do this? Well, we are planning on coming forward, and before we go back in, we're going to have a strategy to do that. But I will tell you, I think it's going to be the first time as a body we fully feel some of the weightiness of COVID, because God's protected us out here. That's why we're waiting till October and we've got ice on each other's noses before we go back in. But we want you to know our plan is to come back inside, and we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to love each other. Amen? That's what we're going to do. But definitely facing these challenges. You say, well, that's kind of depressing. I want it to be something where we all start looking at each other and believe this. God is doing a new thing. And He has given us this opportunity to know Him through what has come. And we have something of substance that never changes. The world right now is spinning. Believers don't have to, even in the midst of going through all this. Why? Because we have the truth. The truth. Friends, you probably brought one of these with you tonight. This is the unchanging, unaltering truth and living declaration of the Word of God. And it doesn't change. Anybody say amen to that? What does that mean? It means that we actually know what we're supposed to do. Because what we're supposed to do doesn't change, whether we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're in the middle of an election, whatever. Our calling is to apply the Word of God to our life. I want to read a verse to you, and this is one that's probably familiar, but it's Joshua 1:8. And if you know when this was written, Joshua was sitting on the edge of the promised land, about to move a million plus of the most stubborn people you ever met into a new land, facing unknown threats, and having to trust God implicitly. And what a great time for us to hear this. And this is what he said to him. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Years ago, as a teenager, I went to a theme park, amusement park, and I went on one of the largest roller coasters I had ever seen. And I had heard it really had a lot of dips and turns, and it was one of those things where they put you in the full body harness and it comes down over your head and you can press it in to kind of lock yourself in. And somehow the thought hit me that the ride would be so much better if I wasn't so confined. So instead of pulling it down tight, I just left it with some give, you know? I was like, all right, it's got some give. This is going to be great. That was the worst ride of my life. Not only being terrified, but because I was not secured, when everybody else had their hands up going into a turn, my head was beating like a drum, and my whole body was just being thrashed about in this harness. I got out of there, and literally the sides of my face were completely bruised. All because I thought it would be great to be flapping in the wind. Not my most brilliant day, but I got to tell you, the Christian church that tries to navigate the roller coaster ride that we're on, apart from the Word of God anchoring us securely, being the tightening straps of our life that hold us, then whatever the fall is, it will be full of misery. But if we will be anchored by the Word of God, why can this not be one of the best moments in the life of this church? Amen? Why can this not be? Because God's Word does not change. His truth stands in a world, and one of the biggest things going on in our culture and society is everybody's trying to take truth and turn it on its head and make it mean something else or call us all to something. The question is, does it line up with the Word of God? The other thing that I don't think changes that we want to rock back into this year is the unchanging agenda for the church. What has God called us to do? If I were to give you a devotional passage, I would tell you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. But in that chapter, God gives this glorious description of the church. And the very first thing that we need to know this fall is that, what's the agenda of the church? Here it is. First point. We belong to Jesus Christ. Period. Amen? Before anything else, we belong to Jesus. We serve Him. We worship Him. We live for Him. We proclaim Him. In verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, it says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The one thing we know, and that it really anchors us right now, is in the world that's crazy, we belong to God. Amen? That's what's true. What's the second thing this passage would tell us? Is that we don't just belong to God, we are united by Jesus. We are united by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen? He is the commonality that we share, and He's the reason we exist together. I love verse 10. It says, "For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy." Friend, we have been united in Jesus Christ. That means we are a body. That means that our priority is not primarily individual. Our priority is the body of Christ. We are the ones in this world who have the hope of Christ, and it anchors us together. And frankly, the world is so polarized, what could it use a lot more of? The body. People loving each other for the sake of Jesus, which is big enough for me to get along with any of you pagans. Amen? Or put up with this guy. That's the truth. We're united by Jesus. How about this? What's the agenda of church? We live like Jesus. My goal is to be like my Savior. That is what we are called to do as a people. Verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against your soul." Friends, right now, in the middle of this crazy thing, what are Christians doing? You know, are we charging the gates? Are we doing this? What are we doing that's so radical? We're obeying. How about that? We're letting the truth of God determine the way we talk and the way we act. And we're keeping ourselves from some of the bitterness and the grossness that's just gobbling up our culture right now and turning people into all kinds of crazy. We live like our Savior. And what's the primary objective of the church? Why do we do all this? What's our goal? That our Savior would be glorified. Friends, if we get to the end of the fall and someone around you has a better opinion of Jesus Christ, then this church has done its job. Amen? The way we live and the way we carry ourselves out, that is to reflect and to exalt Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says this, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers..." By the way, have you noticed we're not as popular as we used to be? Guess what? It's biblical. It probably gets more biblical the more that happens. "That they may, because of your good deeds..." Because of us being the body of Christ, the way Scripture calls us to do it, "and as they observe them, they will glorify God in the day of visitation." Friends, the challenge of the church right now is to give glory to Jesus Christ by the way we live. And the only way we're going to do that is we find ourselves anchored to the Word of God. So in saying that, I would now like to share the plan. Are you ready? That's a great rah-rah speech, but what's the plan? What are we going to do? Well, here's the first thing. As we have prayed and we have thought about this unique time, have you noticed that God has slowed you down in some things? He's put so much on pause. And He's given us as a body and individuals the opportunity to slow down and really have to take a look at things. How many of you know your family better than you wanted to right now? God's revealing stuff. Stuff you can't get away from. God's revealed stuff about the church, and what an opportunity for us to slow down and say, "God, are we ready for what you have coming? And how do we get there?" So the first thing we're going to focus on as we go through the fall is getting grounded. And I don't mean put in the corner. I mean getting anchored in what is the truth. I think Christians feel polarized because we know some of the truth of God. We know we're supposed to love people, but how do you love a culture that you fundamentally disagree with? What are the things that anchor us? So we are going to be doing a series this fall, and it will start next week, and it is called Foundational Truth. In that series, we are going to be giving ourselves the opportunity to reaffirm the Word of God as our authority and allowing it to determine our behavior. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the building blocks of what is our Christianity and what does God's Word have to say about the place we find ourselves. So we're going to be taking on the topic of the Bible. Why? Because if this is not the authority, well, just go find a more comfortable place. But if it is God's Word, then everything falls out of where you put that as a place in your life. We're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about God Himself. How many of you notice that a lot of people invoke God for some pretty broken stuff these days? Who is God? What is He like? What has He said of Himself? And how does that shape us and how we live? We're going to cover that. We're also going to cover the subject of me or you. What is humanity? What is God's design for it? What does God say about the gender issues that are going on in our country right now and in our culture? How do we respond as a church to what is going on in society when God has not called us to be distant from it? We are to be in the world, but not of it. We have to be able to love, and we have to be able to hold a line of truth, knowing that that is love. How do we do that? That's going to be in this series. We're going to go on. We're going to talk about the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about salvation. What is it to know God? We're going to be talking about the church, how it works, how it functions. Why? Because some of us are being polarized and feeling threatened as there's so much shakeup going on in our culture, and it threatens us, or we feel like, what's the foundation? We've got to have that. So that is the series that we're going to do, and I'm going to be so excited to share it with you. I think it's going to be a galvanizing time for us to be able to go, that's what God says. That's the truth. We don't have to worry about that. What else are we going to do? Well, we're limited on some of the things we can call you to, but we want to not just get grounded, we want to get invested. And what does that mean? We want to call some of you to enter into some intentional discipleship experiences. We've had small groups in our church for years, but we are now making a much stronger push to get you into one. Why? We're not just calling them small groups. We're going to call them life groups. Why? Because God has called us to do life together intentionally. And there's a lot of intentional aspects. What these life groups are going to be is they're going to be directly tied to this sermon series, so that you are now taking what you hear on Sunday. And by the way, 1 hour in the building on Sunday is not going to hold you this fall. Amen? So where are you getting fed? Where are you getting challenged? Where are you getting taken deeper? We want to get you into a group that is going to do that. So that's part of the plan. We want to get you involved in the Bible studies that we still can offer. Whether we like it or not, God is taking the church outside the building. And frankly, this feels pretty good. So I want us to be invested in that. So really tonight, you're going to have a chance to ask more questions about that. But we want to do that. I will say this. One of the scary tools that our enemy is using right now is isolation. If he can get a believer alone trying to be self-sufficient, he wins. How many of you know this? You're not designed to be enough. Can anybody say amen to that? Enough is exhausting. God says we're better together. We are a body. And you are meant to walk through life with brothers and sisters. We are not to forsake the gathering together. We are to come together and we are to grow together. So this is an opportunity we feel that God wants us to take advantage of. And then finally, as we're pressing people into that, inviting people into that, we really want to get ready. Here's what I believe. I'm not a prophet, but I don't think COVID's going to be around forever. Amen? Here's my question. What does the church look like when we emerge from this? Have we grown deeper in our knowledge and foundational truth in the Word of God? Have we grown deeper in learning how to love one another? Because, friends, when this stops, there is a world that is pretty hopeless and in a new place of humility. You see, we used to think we had the tiger by the tail. Man, God has taken our country out by the knees. Do you agree? And there's a lot of people raging, but there's a lot of people also going, where's hope come from? I would like to tell you where it comes. It comes from here. It comes from the redeemed bride of Christ, whose hope is in the unchanging Word of God and the truth, and a group and a community that can love each other no matter what's going on. We want to be ready for who's coming around our community and who is looking for hope. So in getting ready, we're actually doing some projects that we can't even use yet. If I were to take you inside the building, you would see that we've torn up the entryway, one side of it. Why? Because as you head down towards the gym, there's a whole new area that's being built as a welcome check-in center for children's ministry. You know the thing we can't do this fall? Why? Because we're going to do it. And we're so excited about even being more intentional with our children's ministry and with families who are in this area. We want to be ready. Hey, gang, what do you think's going on in marriages the last 6 months? Some of you laugh. You're like, oh, yeah, let me tell you our story. I know you're not laughing for that. Guys, there are people all over who finally had to face how broken their situation is. And where are they going to find help? Where's the body of Christ going to be when that happens? We want to be ready. So we're literally even doing things to the building with a thought of, man, God, what's 2021 going to look like? And are we positioning ourselves to be prepared to do ministry? Friends, we are never going to be the prettiest show in town by the grace of God. Anybody say amen? You're going to have to hire a better looking guy. It's just not going to happen. We want to be an authentically dependent church on the Lord Jesus Christ that is up on its toes looking forward to what God is going to do. Amen? So this is the fall of getting ready. That's what we're after. So we're preparing for the future. We have several projects going on. On the other side of the building, we are right now laying the groundwork, hopefully for a whole new patio area that will allow us to reach out to different ministry groups in our church. We're seriously trying to consider, God, how do we take this downtime and get ourselves ready for what's coming? So we're excited. I'm excited about the series. I'm excited about God shanghaiing some of you and throwing you into new growth opportunities. I'm excited about what He's going to do. There are going to be a lot of different other opportunities, but friends, that is the present plan. So, getting grounded, you know, getting invested, getting ready. You guys all okay with that? You sure? All right. Because that's what we're going to do. I'm excited that God's going to do that. What we're going to do now is we would like to shift. That's what's going to happen. You need to know October 4th, that's when we're coming back inside. Until then, we will still be meeting out here on the lawn. But you can plan on that transition taking place. But we want to take a minute and talk to you about some of the ministries that are in operation that are still going to be going forward. We've had several that are going to be stopping and pausing till January. Some of you have been involved in Grief Share. That's on hold till January. Our Seasoned Saints ministry, just that meeting weekly, we have to put that on hold until we have a better plan of how we can bring that back in the building. Children's ministry, these are all realities we're having to face. But that does not mean the church is stopping by any means. And you need to know, we're researching everything, just looking for the opportunity of how do we bring these pieces back online. But we're getting creative in children's ministry and other areas. So I want to shift right now, and I want to share a little bit about the ministry that I'm kind of giving a little more oversight. And then I will turn it over to some of our different ministry leaders as we go forward. And I just want to talk to you about the life groups that we're going to do. God has really laid it on our heart that for good or for ill, I think he's giving us an opportunity to take another stab at relationships and how we're doing them together. And we want to help. We really do want to help, and we want to be an encouragement. So from a staff point of view and from a leadership point of view, we are taking a kind of a new day of steps. We've invited all of our life group leaders is what we're calling them, and we are beginning to do more resourcing, and we are going to be doing more training of those who are leading those, and we want to have a new day of intentionality. We also want to create more life groups as we go. And so if God is laying on your heart to go, man, I've always wanted to do that, I'm going to be over here at one of these tables after we're done, and we would love the chance to talk to you. But what it is us getting involved in these different discussions coming and meeting weekly throughout the fall. I will tell you that this series will end in the early part of November. So if you're wondering if, like, is this a forever commitment? No, it's for this fall. We think it's timely. But if you're interested in being part of one and would like information about where they meet and how you could join one, I will be right over here. But I would really seriously ask you, where are you getting fed and what does it look like? May it be that God is calling you to step into a new season of being challenged in your spiritual life. It's going to be a wonderful time. You get to disagree with the pastor, and it's such good stuff. You know, really chew up the topics, but really in a focused way, come back and say, God, this is the application point. This is what you're calling us to do. Our life groups will also have an aspect where you'll have an opportunity to partner together around a service project this fall. That may sound exhausting right now, but wonderful things. We've already had one life group volunteer to be helping us as we are going to have need a team of people to turn over the gym every time we use it and clean it. And they just said, hey, we'll pick that up. And so they're going to do that together. We're hoping we'll have others who are volunteering. We have people right now who can't come because they are landlocked. So we're looking to have one of our life groups be like, bring the church to wherever they are, sit on their porch and fellowship and be the church with them. And so just cool places where you could experience that. So would ask you to come and to consider life groups. I want to invite Melissa Lyle to come up. You need to cheer for her. She is our children's ministry coordinator and has the unique job of trying to help with children's ministry when it's been blown up. So y'all need to be nice, okay? Just saying.
All right. I am Melissa Lyle, and I am the children's ministry director here, which has been a whole new position as of the spring. And just the different things that we're trying to do and just being intentional. And as this pastor just mentioned, we are looking forward to October 4th, just being able to come in to the gym. And I know especially my families with the littles, like preschool littles, infant littles, it is a very challenging time. And I see several out there tonight just bringing your kiddos out. And I just want to give them a round of applause because what a great opportunity to just be out here, whether you're able to listen to the sermon, but just the fellowship with one another. And I think that's been a huge point this summer. So I'm so glad to see so many of you here. As we move inside, like as Pastor said, the gymnasium is going to be a family-centered, but if you want to watch the families, come on down. But it's going to be centered to gear to help assist with you. So there'll be family tables out. So there'll be activities and different things for do. You can bring your own snacks, bring whatever you need, because you will have your own space in there just for you. So your kids are running around, your kids are noisy, we still love you, and God loves you too, and he wants you here fellowshipping together as a body. So just looking for that. Also, as he mentioned, the Kids Life, we are started demo on the Kids Life Corner. Just for as we grow, we talk about bringing in, growing as a body, growing younger, bringing in new families. What is going to catch their eye is going to be this ministry corner, just checking in, and just what an opportunity and fun and time that's going to be, just bringing in these new families with intentionality of being family-focused here. things coming up this fall. So while we are not in the building yet, September 12th is our going to be worship on the green here, but we are also doing a baptism service. I know I mentioned this a little bit last week, but if you're a kid, young adult, adult, senior saint that would love to get baptized at this time, I have information over here, or if you're a kiddo, I have a pamphlet specifically for you. Come see me or Pastor John after the service, and we'd love to get you connected. Other things coming up, September 19th. Mark your calendars. It is, if you look at your watch, my watch says 7:20 right now. We are going to be starting at 7 o'clock, our drive-in movie night. We're going to be bumping up services times a little bit. And so we'll be actually September 19th starting at 7 o'clock. We'll have our drive-in movie. We are going to show the Pixar movie Cars for those little kiddos that have seen it. But along with the cars, we are going to have, we'll have little snacks and things to go with. But we have a challenge for those young all the way to old. We are going to do cardboard cars. Have you seen them? Okay, thank you. I have a website you can go to, but if you look up cardboard cards, go on Google search, you can go on Pinterest, you can go on any of these, and I got actually a link if you're interested. But we are challenging you to build a car. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with another sibling. If you want to get a group together that you're building whatever kind of fancy car, there may be prizes given out. Just saying, for the speed of your car, how fast you can run in it, the design of your car, how stealthy it looks, or your uniqueness, if you are that creative person. We'd love to give out, we're going to be giving out awards on that night too, so bring your cars. We'll have a little bit more information about that. And lastly, just a family-centered activity. In October, we are planning a fall family event. There's going to be more details coming, but it's probably going to be towards more the end of October, but there's going to be more coming after that. So, if you have any questions, I'll be standing right over here at the end. I would love to chat with you, or if you are here and you haven't been here in a while, I'd love to see your kiddos too. Please come up and say hi. Continuing with children's ministry, mm-hmm. I'm going to hand the mic over to Mr. Commander Rob Newby, who is in charge of our WANA program.
All righty. Well, COVID is not going to stop our WANA program. We're going to go ahead with it. As a matter of fact, September 12th, we are going to kick off with our drive-through extravaganza. Wait a minute. We can do much better than that. Let's try that again. One more time. We are going to start off with our drive-through extravaganza. Okay, that's the kind of excitement that I hope that we're going to receive when we honor our clubbers on September 12th. We're going to have a drive-through through the It's going to go through the parking lot. Our clubbers from last year are going to be able to pick up their awards. We're going to hand out the trophies for the Grand Prix, which we just ran today. And we're going to they're going to be able to get their books, and they're going to be able to register. They can pay their fees. So it's going to be an exciting time. If you want to come out, come on out and cheer our clubbers as they drive by. We'd really appreciate that, too. So with that, though, our club's going to start a little bit different. We are going to do that term that you've probably become familiar with, virtual. Well, Leslie Altieri, she created a web page for us where you can sign on with elginefc.org/children. You can go right to the web page for our children's ministry. You can click on the icons there for the particular club that your clubber might be in. You can register, and then you can click on the club that your clubber is involved with, and they can get their weekly lessons. This will go on until we can come back into the church. So it's really exciting. I went with Leslie, and we went over that website. I think it's really, really cool that we're going to be able to do that. So we need parents to register. We need you to get you to register these kids. We need our kids into God's Word so God's Word can work through our kids and they can be a light to the world. So we want to keep that going. I'd like to introduce the club directors. I don't know where they're all. We'll start with Cubbies. That's the 3 and 4 year olds. The directors are Jessica Fuser. You want to stay? And April Swanson, which I don't think she's here. Next is the Sparks, which is the kindergarten, first and second grade, and that's directed by Leslie Altieri. Is she here? Ah. And then TNT is directed by, that's the third, fourth, and fifth grade. That's Amy and Ada Newby over in the corner. And then our Trek program will be with Mark Cotto. He's going to take that on in high school. So we're really looking forward to this year, and I just hope that we get a lot to sign up. And we'll be over here if you have any questions that we'll be able to answer for you. So let's go, Juana.
We're going to ask Mark Cotto to come up. He's heading up our youth ministry. You can cheer for him again. He's double dipping, but we'll cheer anyway.
Well, it's been a real privilege to serve again as the youth pastor at Elgin E. Free. I just wanted to say thank you to the parents and students. Started on April 1st, and your families and you guys have made it really easy to come back in and serve. So I'm just really thankful for that. Also wanted to thank our adult volunteers, Dave Roller, Christy Strassner, John Stiers, Amber Ahrens, and then Scott and Angie Casebeer for their help and service to the youth here at Elgin E. Free. So I wanted to kind of talk about what's been happening. We took the 6th through 12th grade students and brought them together and started meeting together as a group. We do that now on Tuesday nights, first in Zoom meetings and now in person here at Elgin E. Free. And then we've also started having small groups this summer. So we had age and gender specific small groups meeting throughout the week, seeing a lot of great things happening there. And probably the most exciting thing is we started a ministry called Fast Break, which in a lot of ways is functioning like Pastor John's life groups, where students are leading a discussion on the sermon, spending time in prayer together, and then fellowshipping and doing life together and building relationships, which has been really exciting. We've seen a lot of kids come to that. So really, really excited for that ministry to continue. And then looking forward to October, we've kind of got this weird interim period right now. We're going to continue doing our schedule as it is now until October, and then in October begin meeting inside. We are going to be looking at shifting our meetings to more small group based, in isolation, or not isolation, but distancing, and allowing our kids to be at tables with their own peers and learn about Jesus and then learn how to encourage each other and learn how to serve him well together with the help of some adult leaders. We're going to take the small group leaders, we're going to bring them in on that large meeting, and they're going to be leading tables and working with the students there. And then we're really excited because we are planning and trying to get that fast break to continue, because I really believe it's important for our students to have the opportunity to invest in their peers, to teach, and to have that experience of being leaders. Some special events coming up. Sixth grade, we are finally welcoming you on September 1st. That was, yeah, a little chaotic. So this Tuesday, we're inviting all the sixth grade students to come. We're going to do a special event. We'll have dinner. We'll have games. And we're just going to welcome you in and have you guys join us. Another thing is that we really want to see service projects happen. Something my desire is to see more service projects where students can go out and serve the community. I think Pastor John touched on it. There's a lot of seasoned saints who are probably isolated, and we want to be able to be the hands and feet and encourage them. So I'm going to be talking to some different leaders with the seasoned saints and hopefully trying to figure out ways we can, as a church youth group, encourage those seasoned saints. So. And the last thing is September 11th. We're hoping to have a parents meeting so we can roll out the specifics of our plan for youth meetings at the church, and also just to give you all the information, what's going to happen, kind of finalize details. So thank you so much. Really thankful for you guys, and pray you just continue to be blessed.
Well, I'm going to jump back in. We've had a couple leaders who couldn't be here tonight. So I'd like to just share a little bit. We do have opportunities for ministry that is just very specific to both men and women. We just wanted to make you aware of them. In men's ministry, we have a couple things going on. I didn't know if any of you knew this, that there's a whole men's Monday night fire group that's meeting, and they meet at Rob Luck's home, and they burn stuff for Jesus. It's awesome. You should consider that. But more, it's a wonderful time of prayer. They do a scripture reading. They just share life. And that meets pretty late in the evening. They start at 8:30, and the design is so that you can get your kids in bed and still be loved by your bride if you go do this once a week. So even whether you're married or unmarried, we'd love, doesn't matter the age, love to have you do that. And then Dwight Klitsky is leading a brother-to-brother Bible study, and that is meeting regularly, and they meet on his patio, and it's a great in-depth Bible kind of study. So there will be information over at the table for that. Terry Reese is our women's director, and she does a wonderful job. She couldn't be here tonight. They had to travel. And so I'm doing the women's. I just found that funny. I'm like, it's so not qualified to do this. No, I'm excited about the Bible studies that are coming up. On Tuesdays, we have two opportunities. There's a morning Bible study, and there's an evening Bible study. And the morning Bible study, I believe, is going to be a study on the book of Colossians. And then in the evening, they are doing a book study, Francis Chan's Letter to the Church. And so that's taking place. And then also, for you young moms, I don't know, I know many of you have had a chance to do this, but Bethany Osborne has started a group that meets called Moms Connect on Fridays, and they get together in some of the parks, and they have that posted all the way going into the fall. And it's really an opportunity for you to let your kids run and go crazy and to get some fellowship in and some encouragement. And I've heard wonderful things about that. So there are opportunities for you to connect with other men, with other women, and we want to increase them, but we want you to know that they're there. So if you are really feeling like, man, God, I want to step in, or I need to get into fellowship, what we're going to do is we're going to close our time, and I'm going to invite Dave Moxness to come up and just give a word of prayer. But right after he is done, just know that we will close our time, but we want to invite you to come over to any of these tables. There's plenty of information we would love to put in your hand, or just answer any questions that you might have. So God bless you guys. Thanks.
And what time are we starting next week?
6 o'clock.
Okay. Next 6 o'clock. I don't know if everybody knew that, but we're not going to be at 6:30. We'll be at 6 o'clock as our start time. So I don't think there's much for me to say outside of the fact that it's been a challenge as one of the elders is trying to make sure that we have good connection with our body. And we were discussing this morning in our elders meeting is sometimes it felt like God put the church on a pause, put it on a pause button and says, and our conversation was we're so busy doing a lot of programs that God says, I'm tired of the programs. I want you to get into relationships. And so so that's kind of the challenge that we've had is how do we continue the relationships? And I think John put a good thing is that we want to get together. We want to do life together. And so let's pray that the Lord will really guide us this fall, give us good direction, and give us really a vision for how he wants us to be a part of this community. So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much. Even in the hard times, we want to praise you because you are with us and you care for us, you love us, and you want the best for us. As John said, that we want to be on our toes. We want to be warriors during this time. We want to be in the community. We want to be able to reach things, people, places that have never been reached before. And we want to reach our neighbors. We want to reach our friends. Father, give us wisdom as we come back into the building. Give us discernment and how we can just protect each other. But Father, most of all, we want to praise you for everything that you've provided and given us. We thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God, that you love each one of us here, that you have a plan for each one of us, that you have a plan for this church, you have a plan for this community. And Father, we know that many people have been isolated and many people have faced many challenges, and we want to lift them up. And we want you to use us to help them. Help us to be a body that loves our community. Help us to love you more. Help us to love each other more. May we be the hands and feet of Jesus. May we be the church that you want us to be in this community. Just give us that wisdom. We ask for it. We pray for it. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the ambition and the desire to carry out and to be obedient to your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.